If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Right, let's think of some. No. I wouldn't be that mean at the early service, maybe at the later one, but I won't be that mean at this one. The commandments that are given to us, of course, are those which are laid down in the law. This is the context that Jesus is speaking in. He speaks in the context of a Jewish society. And therefore, the law and the prophets, all those who have come before, are the ones that the commandments and the word the commandments conjure up for people when they are hearing them spoken by a teacher. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. But of course, Jesus is also saying this in the context of his own teaching. And this is where, for the disciples, it must have begun to get a little bit kind of confusing. And actually, perhaps, this is why it's a little bit possible that they began to get a little bit kind of wrong-footed sometimes. Poor Peter. He does try, doesn't he? Bless him. And he's forever sticking foot in mouth. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, Jesus says. In the context of what he's saying to his disciples in this passage, and the passage that we heard last Sunday, there is something brewing here. There's something brewing in the sense of a realization that must be forming in the minds of the disciples and the people who were hearing him speak, that actually this is someone who's not just your run-of-the-mill teacher, rabbi. This is someone who's not just your run-of-the-mill proponent of particular styles, ways of being and doing. But rather, there is more to come. And in John's Gospel, this is all about the Word. The beginning of John's Gospel that we often hear at Christmas time is, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and so on and so on. You know that passage. And if you don't, have another look. You see, this is all about words. Commandments are words. A teacher of mine once said, if you're feeling lonely, pick up a book. You're never alone when you've got a good book. Good teacher, some might say. I happen to think so. But I enjoy reading, so fair enough. But there is something, isn't there, about the way that you can pick up a text, be it Dan Brown, don't hate me, Tolkien, be it the latest kind of John Grisham. I'm talking from a boy perspective here, obviously. Mills and Boone? No one here would read that. No one would. But the point is not what you read, but the fact that when you pick up something, it is possible to lose yourself in the story, to imagine yourself in the scenery. There was a really good film a few years ago. It was a children's film. I must have seen quite a few of those sorts of things in the last few years. And it was about a dad who, when he told stories, the stories came alive. And dad and children went on adventures and ended up having to kind of rescue one another and get back safely to bedtime. His words came alive. I can't remember, I think it was called Inkheart. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. This is about words. This is about a story. This is about the stuff that Jesus has been saying already and the stuff that he's kind of hinting he's going on to say. And it's about it becoming real. It's about these words being more than just pretty patterns on a page. Sounds reverberating through space. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. To keep them is to do more than just kind of put them in a box. That might be part of keeping, but actually keeping is about keeping them in your consciousness. It's about remembering something. It's about it becoming part of you and who you are. And this loving relationship we're called into that is about keeping hold of the Word of God is the way in which Jesus says, you are not alone. Even when he is not with us, we have him still because we have those words. And we have them not just in a book on a dusty shelf, but we have them within our hearts. Because of a relationship of love and care, of learning and keeping, which is more than just a dusty historical account. For this is the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. That's exactly the point that I'm trying to make about this. Because God's Spirit is with us and in us, so God is with us and in us. So God's Word is with us and in us. And he will not leave us orphaned. He will not leave us alone. We will not be lonely because of that. They who have my commandments, says the final verse of this passage, and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. You see, this keeping is not just a past tense thing. It's not just something that we have done that we therefore kind of just neatly have within us. It is something that enables us to look forward as well. This keeping is not just about a love that we receive, that we have received, that we can receive, but is something that yet has more to say to us. I will love them and will reveal myself to them. That's a future tense thing. I will reveal. There is more yet to come. The words are not dead. They are not finished. It is not over. There is yet more. Going back to those books, that film, those stories that we hold to be true, the stories that Jesus shares with his disciples, for example, are stories that they can imagine themselves in the situation of. They are stories that evoke common experience of life. And where we share common experience, where we know one another's lives, where we are in relationship and where we love one another in that way, we know, you and I know, that there will be more yet to come. That there will be more that will be revealed. I am delighted every day by the things that my two girls say. Some of them just make me laugh, but some of them make me think I must store that away somewhere. And I'm not sure that I actually make a conscious effort to always write it down, although sometimes there's a Facebook status. But there is always, always in our receiving and hearing a word, an element of it going in and therefore being kept. And it might not be the exact sentence, phraseology, all the rest that goes with it, but there'll be something of the feeling, of the delight, of the joy, of the hope. A few days ago, we were with some friends. They have slightly older children than us. And their daughter came in and said something, and there was a little kind of an exchange, as happens sometimes with near teenage girls. Those of you who've had them will really know. And as she left the room, her dad just said, "I'm really looking forward to the wedding speech." And I really loved the idea that there was something about her that he was hoping for, that he was delighted about the future prospect of. And yes, it's hypothetical, but the idea that those words would form part of that which was kept of her and handed on in future time. Someone so loved in that family, as we are so loved in God's family, and something of the words, the exchanges that we have with God, equally are then held and kept and are waiting for that future time where God's love will be revealed further. So, as I emailed through, the title of the talk is "You Are Not Alone." If anyone who read it thought that this was going to be about UFOs, you were wrong. Because this is about something that, though it may be supernatural outside of our nature, it is equally about something that is within the very core of our being. God's word, God's love, God's presence in us, each one, no matter what. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will not leave you. And on that day, you will know me." Amen.